where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Hey man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, across the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hey everybody, welcome to Scaredy Cats. We're back. We're here reviewing Better Watch Out. It's going to be a good time. I'm Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my sister Mindy.
Hello guys.
Welcome back to Scaredy Cats. It's a pleasure having you all with us. We're here for the Everything Unscripted Network. Let's get a few plugs out of the way before we start out here. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Saturday. Saturday for the Hollywood Hangout and Wednesday for their main show. Make sure to check us out 6:30 for Unscripted Wrestling on Fridays. And then at 7 on Saturdays for Unscripted Unlimited. And then right here on Sunday at 3 p.m. for the Scaredy Cats.
Yep, which we're going to be doing in between 1 and 3 on Sundays.
Yeah. So with all that being said, let's get into it, Mindy. Better Watch Out.
And this is one of the movies that I found a couple years ago. And I talked it to death with all my family and all my friends. I think even Daniel got upset with me talking about it too much. So when I had the opportunity to pick another movie, because unfortunately the plans that we had for this week fell through, I decided, well, let's do this movie because it's really, really good. And it's similar to what we normally do here on this show. But it's also got something different going for it as well. And that's what I really enjoy about the piece, is that it has familiar stuff, but then it has stuff that's really fresh and new.
Yeah.
And it works for it.
Yeah, definitely. I think the director, Chris Peckover, he really, he went into making the twist, because in the original script, like, the twist was 30 minutes after where it was supposed to be, of, like, Luke being, like, a crazy little bastard. So he like, sped that up for the sake of the movie and story purposes, and he added in the character Garrett, which is one of my favorite characters because he's the lovable, dorky best friend. But this really, and it's a good... It's kind of like a character piece on, like, kids who are, like, brought up, like, too well, and they kind of think they're invincible just because they've never really had to play by the rules. And he really thinks
and
he can get away.
Got in trouble.
Yes, and he thinks he can get away with anything. He thinks that he can literally smash a guy's brain and home, like they said, home alone him, and fucking smash a paint bucket and destroy this guy's face and kill him, and then nothing will happen to him.
He looked like a McDonald's cheeseburger.
Yeah. And it just, it did.
And it did. I didn't think about
did.
That
with
when
the
I
mustard
saw
and shit. Yeah, you're right. But it was just so good with they played on that well, and the babysitter did a great job, Ashley.
Yeah, she was really good.
And Ashley and Luke's dynamic of he has a crush on her. He's this little guy that just wants to get with his babysitter, and the babysitter's trying to get out of town. And she
turns into a madly in love his part.
Yeah.
Love story that she really doesn't get.
Yeah.
Because she's not in love with him.
I thought there was a serial killer outside for real. I did not know that this movie was going to go in this direction.
And that's what bugged me about this movie, though, Daniel, is that, like, they couldn't have had everything set up like that. Like, who was in her car? Somebody had to have been in that car to set the lights off.
Yeah.
And they were all inside.
It seemed like Garrett and him had a pretty elaborate plan, though.
Yeah, but it just seems a little too elaborate, especially for a 13-year-old and a 12-year-old to pull off, no matter how sinister they may be.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That was a little too unconvincing.
Did you ever see The Visit with M. Night Shyamalan?
I did, and actually I was reminded by Aunt Sharon, a guest host that we have here a lot, that Garrett and Ashley are the two kids that
from The Visit. So it was kind of cool seeing them again, and they're kind of similar but different roles, and in this one, you know, obviously they're not related. And I like the two actors, and I think they're good for horror and this type of picture.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Lucas, he's just a freaking little psychopath in the making.
He's a good little sociopath, too. He's conniving. He acts like this good kid. He's kind of fucked up. And it's like all little boys are kind of like that.
He's his best friend's hamster.
It's crazy because all little boys are like that to a degree.
Yeah.
But then if you keep maximizing that and let them keep going with that behavior, and they don't have someone else to smack them in the back of the head and say, hey, you're being a little dipshit. This is what they can become. And it's kind of a cool, like, message, like how they're talking about that. That it's like they're just a regular kid that probably plays Call of Duty and watches rap videos and, you know, sees, like, girls in movies and, you know, their Wikipedia and they're searching up, like, you know, porn and stuff. So he's seeing all this stuff and he's got the whole world at his fingertips. So he thinks that he can do all that stuff and get away with it because he sees it online, too.
Yeah. And you got to remember, too, this entire thing was calculated but not calculated. Because in the beginning, he's just trying to get in her pants.
Yeah.
But as the story goes on, it gets more and more apparent that he's going to have to kill her.
Yeah.
And it just gets more and more apparent that he wants all of this to happen. Because basically she catches him and Garrett trying to play a prank on her to get her scared, to get her in his pants. And she threatens to call his mother, which sets him off. And he sends her flying down the stairs. And somehow she didn't die, which I really find annoying. And she wakes up to the two of them just fooling around, and it just gets really, really dark.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, her boyfriend shows up, but then you find out that Lucas has her phone.
Yeah.
So he called the boyfriend. So he doesn't want them to get out of the situation. He wants to play with it.
Yeah, that's the calculated part where it comes, because he deliberately had a plan to where he was going to, like, have an execution of her boyfriend, and he was going to make it look like the ex-boyfriend did it. And that's what, and he had that ex-boyfriend hang himself, which is one of my favorite scenes.
Absolutely, especially when he has the feet dangling right over the swing.
Yeah, and it was just kind of like, it made a little sense, too, like you're going, trying to get back with this chick, and this little kid's like, hey, you write how you're feeling about her on this notepad. She wants you to write her a letter. It's like, all right, fuck, I guess I'll do what I gotta do, see if I can, you know, shoot my shot. And he writes, you know, something sad, which it can be taken as a suicide letter. Mm-hmm. So it was smart on Lucas's part.
He was very smart.
Yeah.
He was too smart.
Too it's smart for his own good, yeah. Obviously, the best part of the movie is the ending when she's getting carted away. And his mom's hugging him like, oh, you're such a good little boy. And he looks at the window and she flips him off and he just knows, like, oh, fuck. He's like, oh, yeah.
I'm going to jail.
Yeah, it's like a Scooby-Doo moment. Like, oh, I'm not going to get away with this shit. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool, too. I also thought it was really, really menacing how, like, he told Garrett, like, don't touch her. She's mine. And Garrett tried to set her free at the end because he realized what they were doing. And Luke comes in and just massacres them.
Yeah. I think it was one of the most important parts of the movie and probably the deepest, because then when you're at first, because it's hard to take Luke seriously because he's a little kid. And you see,
and
that's how little
screechy,
all little kids are.
And that screechy little puberty voice.
Yeah. And that's kind of how all little kids are. They think they're the shit and they think they can do whatever. But then it's like, this is real. And they've already killed a few people, so you know he's a little psycho. But he just killed his best friend. And he's visibly upset about it. He's like, fuck. Like he's very mad.
Yeah, but then he's able to talk himself out of it as quickly.
Exactly.
Just as quickly as getting upset. He's able to shake his head and be like, you know what? He was annoying me anyway.
Yeah. So it really proved how menacing he was, and it was also a big moment for the movie because it showed that this kid, he's too far gone now.
Yeah.
There's no coming back for him. He killed his best friend. He's killed multiple people at this point, and he plans on killing the babysitter. So I'm glad I think it was the perfect ending. I think this movie, it had a perfect runtime. It was kind of short and sweet. It wasn't too long.
No, it was an hour and 26, I believe.
Yeah. So it was, it had that, and it wasn't, it didn't feel like a low budget movie either. It felt like.
Well, it wasn't a low budget. They had a budget of $3 million.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a low budget. It was just a low box office.
Yeah.
This is definitely more of a cult hit.
Yeah.
Than it was a box office hit.
I mean, yeah, but it was like at festivals and stuff. And sadly, nowadays, $3 million is kind of low budget. Like, it's not like, it had a good budget, but it's not like a Halloween Kills that's a $40 million movie.
No.
But for what it had, I think the effects and stuff were really cool, and all the death scenes were really badass. Obviously, the kid getting hit with the paint bucket comes to mind.
I know. That is probably one of the, it's going to go down one of the most creative kills in history, I think, because that was a very, very creative way of taking somebody out.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I mean, the hanging thing, I understand why that's your favorite. It is a really good scene, but it's been done before. It's been done a few different times. The paint can, it hasn't really been done before.
Not in a murder way, but, I mean, they directly kind of stole and quoted Home Alone. Like, that does happen in the movie.
Well, yeah, but no one died.
Yeah. They should have. If it was lifelike, then...
That's what the debate was about.
Not Joe Pesci, but the other guy should have died a couple times. He took a brick to the face.
Marv.
Yeah, Marv got fucked up in that movie, so he probably should have been dead. But this movie, it preyed on a lot of good themes. The kills were... It was gory enough. It had a great story. It had a good, like, twist halfway through the movie, which you always expect the ending for the twist.
So it was really refreshing to have the twist be in the middle.
It was refreshing, different. Joe Swanson was in the movie for a brief spell, which, God bless him. Patrick, whatever the fuck. I forgot his name, but he's one of the best. He played the Tick.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great actor. Rules of Engagement.
Uh-huh.
And so it was nice having him in there for a brief spell.
And it was nice to see Virginia Madison in there, too, doing her normal thing of being the overbearing mother.
Yeah. So
she plays that role really well.
And it kind of, they even show in their brief scene, just like, they're kind of shitty parents. You see why Luke's kind of a little shit.
They're shitty parents, and they're shitty husband and wife, too.
Yeah. They're talking shit to each other as they're going out, so.
And he's hitting on the babysitter.
Exactly. So, I mean, it just shows, it showed a lot for the movie. It was kind of a comment on society. It was a good one.
Yeah.
And it played with it in a nice way, and it didn't come across as too corny or cheesy or stupid or anything like that.
To me, it reminded me of the old saying, he could set somebody on fire and his mother would still say that he didn't do it.
Yeah. And it's just like, it opens up how you look at a killer. Like, what do you think, like, you look at, like, a Jeffrey Dahmer, you think of, like, a someone, like, a big, like
that
the Joker. You don't think of, like, a little proper boy that just, you know.
Has
he,
a great life
and,
a great family.
Yeah.
And has a bedtime and has everything he could ever want, need, or desire. He's not abused. He's not made fun of. He's a really popular young man. He's cute. He could have any girl that he wanted to in his class or maybe even a year older than him.
Yeah.
And it's just scary to see that, like, that kind of evil could come out of such shelteredness.
Yeah. Because they have that role of invincibility, and I like how they play with that theme to the movie.
Yeah.
So overall, I'd definitely give it probably an 8 out of 10. I think it was one of the better, because it wasn't the scariest movie of all time, but
it
the
did
story
scare
was
me,
good.
Though.
It didn't scare me, but I thought it was a really good
but
movie.
You've never been a babysitter watching a young kid that falls in love with you. I have. I've had that a few times. So, from a girl's point of view that's babysat and has a kid that develops a little bit of an obsession and whatnot, like, it's creepy to watch this movie. It's scary because then you're like, oh, crap, like, that could have happened. That's not good. But I understand on the flip side why you wouldn't think it's scary.
Yeah, it's just, it didn't have a whole lot of, like, I mean, it was, like, creepy. And he was good, like, he was a good psychopathic killer, but it wasn't like I wasn't jumping at anything.
Oh, no, they didn't have any jump scares or anything like that, but it was definitely one of those movies where I did my gasp, because Mindy don't scream, guys. I don't scream. I either yell or I go, oh, holy fucking shit. So if I do one of those two things, you know that the movie's getting to me.
I just thought the three leads were so charming that it was always kind of playful for me. Even when people were dying and shit was going down, it didn't really set in to me until Garrett died. But before that, I thought it was just it was a good movie. But
it reminded me a little bit of Scream. It was kind of meta. It was kind of self-aware of what it was doing.
Yeah.
And it was very comedic.
Yeah, it was.
In a way. I mean, especially when he's got the baseball bat in his hand and he's doing, like, the little fucking dance and shit.
Yeah.
Like, that was funny.
Yeah, because they always made sure to let you know, these are little fucking kids.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't make it unrealistic. I think that's what I like, because when you go with little kid killers, you go, oh, he's possessed, or, oh, he's just a psycho, oh, he's bullied at school, the easy route. But they never really talk about, what about the fucking rich suburban kid that just, like, he thinks he can kill whatever because he does it on a video game, or because, like,
and
he sees
can get away with anything.
Yeah, he thinks he can do whatever the fuck he wants. So just that theme really made the movie. And Garrett, as the best friend, he just wants to hang out and be with his buddy, and he's just doing what he's got to do.
Yeah, he just wants to have fun. He doesn't think that anything really bad is going
to
happen.
And he's a little over in his head. He just wants to sit at home and smoke weed that night. He doesn't want to do it, even though he's 13, which is a little weird. But
yes, I mean, it's a little weird, especially when he says his older brother gave it to him.
Yeah.
That's a little weird, because I couldn't imagine myself giving 13-year-old Daniel some weed to smoke for the night. But you also don't know what age his brother is. His brother easily could have only been, like, older than, like, a year.
Yeah.
Of him. They could be very, very, very close in age.
He looked like
Toby
from Degrassi. I just want to tell you that. His face is
he did look like Toby.
But,
he did.
What would you rate this movie?
I would rate it an 8. I wanted to give it an 8.5, but I can't, guys, because of the plot holes.
Yeah.
There's way, way too many plot holes, unfortunately. Like, when they're all inside the house and somebody's throwing a brick and then somebody's turning on her car and shit. How did they do that? And they never explain it.
No.
They just let it go away. And to me, as a horror fan, that annoys me. If you're going to do a movie like that and you're going to do something like that, you need to explain it.
Yeah.
In some way. Like, you don't need to make it obvious. That's fine. But explain it in some way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, because there obviously had to have been more than two kids in on this.
Yeah. It did seem a little too elaborate for a two-kid job.
Especially when the kids are 12 and 13.
Yeah. It was a little much, but I loved the execution. I thought it was done well. Overall, I really enjoyed the movie.
I really did, too, and I really enjoyed the fact that, like you said, they went with a kid that was spoiled, that could do no wrong, that was popular, and like that, because we've never seen that before. We've only seen the abused child.
Yeah. You didn't feel any empathy for this kid.
No, not at all.
And they did it in a different way. He wasn't bullied. It was done really smart.
He didn't snap.
No.
It was just the second part of his plan in case the first part went wrong.
Yeah. But I will say, like, he should have just slit her throat. I know it's fucked up.
If you wanted to kill her.
Don't stab her in the back if you don't think she's going to be
wheeled
off.
He didn't stab her in the back. He stabbed her in the chin. He stabbed her in the throat. He got it right in the lyric.
Oh, I thought he stabbed her from behind.
No, he went like this.
Behind her.
Yes, but he went like this with his arm. He curved his arm in.
Oh.
And then he jabbed it into her, and then he says good night and kisses her.
Oh. Well, he should have slit her throat. But with that being said.
With that being said, guys, we like it when people slit each other's throats. If you're not going to slit someone's throat, then you can't be surprised that they survived.
Yeah.
That's what we're
saying. That's all I'm saying.
That's the end of the day lesson there for you.
But I thought it was a really good movie. Next week we'll be doing I Know What You Did Last Summer, finally, season
and
one.
We're not going to keep on canceling.
Yeah.
I promise.
We'll do it.
I got it, finally. We're going to watch it. And hopefully I think I will, because the girl that plays Riley from the Spain TV series,
yeah,
she also does a couple of other horror series that I've liked over the years, like Light of the Feathers, Different Boards, from Hulu.
Yeah.
So I'm interested.
Yeah.
A little bit to see her again. So, I mean, we'll have to talk about it more next week when I actually watch the damn thing.
Absolutely.
But
and
hootie hoo, guys.
Yep, Scaredy Cat Nation. We will see everybody next week, and have a good week.
Be safe.